Lots of reaction to Fergus O'Dowd and Irish Water. We'll bring you some of that later, perhaps. Now, just recently we read about the case of a Romanian doctor who was suspended after just 10 days working in Crumlin Children's Hospital in Dublin. He wasn't able to perform even the simplest tasks properly. This morning we're going to look in detail at the issues concerning migrant doctors in Ireland. Later on I'll be speaking to an Irish and a Nigerian doctor about their experiences and research. We'll also hear from a researcher who studies migrant doctors in Ireland. Now, earlier, I spoke to Caroline Spillane. She is Chief Executive of the Medical Council. I spoke to her about the way migrant doctors register in this country.
There are a number of different categories of doctors who come to work in Ireland, and they go into different divisions of the register depending on what their specialisation is. So with the Medical Council across all doctors, the first thing we would do is we would obviously check to see their basic medical qualification. We would be checking to see their skills and their training. And we would also, very importantly, check to see that they have no disciplinary history, that they're not subject to fitness to practice inquiry or disciplinary matters in other jurisdictions. So if you're a doctor who is within the EU EEA, you have automatic recognition, and this is all governed by European directive, which
so
means
EEA goes beyond the European Union. That
it does,
covers
it does I think all of the 27 countries, and then we look at countries outside of the European Union EEA. And for those doctors, we would do all of those tests, but also we can apply a test of skills and knowledge. And we do this by looking at their ability to interpret data. We simulate real patient contact, so we would have simulated cases where they would have to demonstrate in an examination situation that they're able to diagnose and treat effectively for various different disorders.
But that is a check or an exam for doctors who have qualified outside of Europe.
Yes, the Medical Council is not allowed by European law to the Medical Council has to allow for automatic recognition if you're within the EU EEA.
And in saying that, there's no need to check, for instance, if somebody coming here from the Netherlands or from Germany, though they probably speak very good English, but you don't actually have to prove that you can do it. If you're qualified in the EU, that's sufficient.
So European law says automatic recognition, and this kind of European law applies not only to healthcare workers, it applies across the board, and it's all about freedom of movement. Now, the Medical Council has said that particularly for doctors, there should be an ability to test for language competence. And indeed, we've put this into our ethical guide and we hold doctors to account for that. But currently, as it stands, we do not have the legal powers to be able to test. So that's why we say to employers, we will have a basic checks to allow people on the register, but it's very important for employers to be able to test that doctors are able to speak clearly and communicate clearly. I did mention about the clinical assessments that we do for doctors coming out from outside of the EU EEA, and of course communication skills would be tested as part of that. But you're quite right, within the European context, the European directive does, I suppose what it has as its foundation is this notion that people should be able to move freely within the European Union.
And that's Caroline Spillane, I should say, Chief Executive of the Medical Council. I'll be speaking to three doctors about the issues raised after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.
Now, earlier we heard from Caroline Spillane, Chief Executive of the Medical Council. I'm joined from Tralee by Dr. Mary McCaffrey. She's a consultant obstetrician gynaecologist at Kerry General Hospital. And in studio here in Dublin, we have Dr. Prospero Obioha, psychiatrist at the Midland Regional Hospital in Mullingar. He came here from Nigeria 10 years or so ago. And also in studio, Professor Rory Brewer from the Royal College of Surgeons. Thank you all for being with us. Can I start with you, first of all, Mary? What have your experiences been of working with migrant doctors? I think about a third of doctors now in our hospitals and in our medical service are migrant doctors. What's your experience been like?
Well, from the day I would have qualified, I would always have worked in a system where there were some overseas doctors. Traditionally, in the 80s and 90s, these would have been doctors from Asia and Pakistan. And our experience was always extremely positive. In recent times, we have still got Asian doctors within the system, Nigerian, Sudanese doctors. We now have, as Caroline outlined in her interview, doctors coming from within the EU country. We seem to be experiencing more difficulties in recent times.
Is that because there's a difference in the background and training as between British trained doctors and doctors who have trained in the European area?
Well, I think part of the problem is that we have allowed the system to become so seriously damaged at the moment, in that we can't maintain our numbers of Irish graduates. They're going away. Doctors are coming in from other countries. To an extent, they know that we're backed into a corner. But it is partly about how they're trained and how they're selected. We have moved away from the local interview system, where people were able to interview their own doctors and match them with the people that were best suited to them, to central recruiting. That hasn't worked. We're using an awful lot more agency staff than we would have previously. So often we're getting them at very short notice. And the doctors that are coming are disillusioned. I think the experience a couple of years ago, when we went out, we being the system, not the local people, to India and Pakistan to recruit, people came in, were not given what they were promised. They were very disillusioned. Many of them went home, and it's left a bad taste
and
in the mouths of those countries.
Is it your view, Mary, as well, is part of what you're saying that because there are such strains on the system, and maybe because of Irish doctors leaving or Irish trained doctors leaving, we cannot be as selective as we were in the past?
Well, in my opinion, the ultimate thing has to be patient safety and risk management, and we have to be selective. If doctors cannot be got, we are going to have to prune back the services and deal with what we can deal with safely. But as you brought up earlier, the issue of, are they trained differently? In general, the Asian, Pakistani, Nigerian, Sudanese doctors will have worked in a system in their own countries where they were trained by people who've previously worked in the British Isles. So they're very familiar with the system coming here, and they do tend to integrate very well. The difference in the European doctors coming at the minute is that they're trained. Training is extremely different. Their culture is different. Their ability to communicate is different. Their actual medical expertise is often excellent. And I know that because I would actually provide shared care with a number of Czech Republic clinics from my own service in Kerry. So I work with them from the Czech Republic, and I know their service is good, but the communication is very different. Their system is very hierarchical. They're very paternalistic in the way they approach patients. And it does vary from country to country. Equally, we have Irish graduates, Irish doctors, excuse me, who've gone and trained in the Czech Republic, Hungary, who've come back as trained doctors from those countries, and they integrate well. So they obviously are trained and integrate. So it's something about the cultural communication that makes it difficult.
I'll come back to you in a few minutes about some other issues, Mary McCaffrey and Tralee. But Prospera Bayoha, you're here, as I say, about 10 years. You're a psychiatrist. You're based there in the Midlands Hospital in Mullingar. Yeah. What's your experience been of working in the system coming into this country?
Like she rightly said, I mean, I came in here in 2003, and I actually sat for the Irish Medical Council exam. It's sort of an evaluating exam to see how well you are and how well you'll be practiced here. And that went on okay, and I got my first job in Nina in County Tipperary. Integration-wise, I think that went on okay, apart from a few incidences that happened in terms of, you know, getting to know about the culture of the people and the accent of the people, you know, who you are seeing in the clinic. But that actually went well. As I also had a
You need time, I suppose, to develop your ear to maybe the South Tipperary accent or something like that,
yeah,
with the Waterford accent.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But again, apart from that, I had a very good working relationship with my supervising consultant and some of my staff. Yeah.
What about the expectations that you had? Did you have ideas about what might be possible in regard to your career development? And were those expectations delivered on?
Well, partly they were, and partly they were not, because the ultimate would be to progress my career, which hasn't happened yet. Although I have finished my exam, I've done my basic specialist training, and also have my membership with the Royal College of Royal College of Psychiatrists of the UK. I have sort of ticked all the boxes, but I haven't had the opportunity of progressing my career.
Is that because vacancies are suitable vacancies have not arisen, or for some other reason?
Well, my understanding, what we are told, the last interview I went is there were cutbacks, you know, in terms of the budgetary allocation to the mental health service, and that would be the. That would be the explanation we are giving for that.
And just going back to something Mary McCaffrey touched on in our earlier chat, just the question of relating to patients and the cultural differences. We talked about accents, obviously, that's one thing. But the general area, which obviously would be important for a psychiatrist, empathy.
Empathy, yeah, that's very important, because the culture where I trained, you know, empathy will come across, you know, you're saying sorry to a patient, but here is a different kind of ballgame. It should start from your language, your facial expression, and your body, you know, the signs the patient see from you. But again, I mean, that's something we had to learn, you know, and staying here for more than 10 years, I think I have improved much in my empathy.
And Prosper, did you get any training in making this adjustment in this country?
Well, I didn't really get any training, but what happened is that we went for exams with the Royal College of Psychiatrists, and part of what they would want to see from you is the empathy. So we actually would practice it during our discussion classes with my colleagues, and that's how we learned that. You know, so it wasn't as if we are training to how to show empathy to the patient. Yeah,
Professor Rory Brew, you are somebody who has done some research and you've studied the patterns and also the difficulties that arise for international medical graduates. So, what can you tell us about the current situation?
Thanks, Sean, and thanks for inviting me. Our research has looked specifically at the experiences, but also at the future intentions of health professionals, including doctors who we've recruited to work here in Ireland. Secondly, we're looking at our global obligations as a country and our obligations to the countries from which we recruit these doctors and nurses. And thirdly, and Mary has touched on this, the root causes of the medical workforce problems in Ireland, and the reason why we're recruiting so many doctors from other countries, is Ireland's failure to retain the doctors it trains.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there a big issue about the number of doctors we were training in this country up to a certain point in the middle of the last decade? Was it? But from 2007 or thereabouts, there are sufficient numbers coming through our own medical schools. So what's going wrong?
Exactly. The Fotrel report has been implemented. We've scaled up the training so that we're producing the 730 or so graduates that we need each year to staff our system. And the emigration of Irish-trained doctors has increased at the same rate. So we're running just to stand still.
Effectively, all the extra doctors we're training, the equivalent numbers are going, those extra numbers?
We know they're going in large numbers, and we've started a study specifically funded by the Irish Health Research Board to look at that, to quantify it and to look at the reasons why. We know from, in fact, Caroline Spillan would have said that they can see that there are exits of young doctors from the register, 10% last year, 25 to 29-year-olds. So that's really what we need to focus on. But at the same time, given that the theme of today is on foreign doctors' experiences in Ireland, there is a new set of recommendations that have been put in place under the Department of Health led strategic review of medical training and career structures.
And what are the main provisions there?
Well, there's about 25 recommendations, and a lot of them actually focus on the issues of training. It's not just all about money, Sean. It's about quality of training, enabling doctors to use their skills, not to have them doing work which isn't appropriate to their skills, the flexibility in training, configuration of work of posts, you know, reducing paperwork and burden. But salaries is in there as well.
Yeah, but what about the point though, Mary raised, that before there used to be a system whereby you could recruit directly the people you had to work with or you would find yourself working with, whereas now it seems they're coming off some sort of a conveyor belt.
Our research hasn't looked at the issue of how recruitment is done. It hasn't looked at some of the issues raised earlier around quality of care. We did look specifically at non-EU doctors. We didn't look at EU doctors. So these are really matters to raise with the employers, which the hospitals and the HSE hospitals that are employing these doctors.
Right. Mary, coming back to you, just the kind of experiences that you and colleagues have had there working with people who've trained outside our system and are coming, be it from Europe or further afield. For instance, and being in the specialist area that you work in, what about the way people coming to this country, doctors coming to this country, would relate to and work with midwives, for example?
Well, these would be simple issues that aren't addressed in the recruitment process. In a lot of countries, particularly the European countries, the concept of a midwife may not be a specialist area that they have. So they're not accustomed to dealing with a person who is a nurse, in their opinion, that they may take instruction from or may be entitled to give them an opinion on things. And physiotherapists, dietitians, all those areas fall under that. And that becomes a really big problem because midwives are practitioners, nurses now have degrees here, and they're entitled to be able to work in a compatible manner with people. And it goes back to this idea of the paternalistic system that you talk down to people. My medical colleague touched on this a little about in psychiatry they do role play. It should be possible that somehow in the recruitment process we can deal with that. And in the days when you interviewed for someone across a table, or even on Skype or whatever, you can look at body language. Body language will tell you a lot about whether this person is going to fit in, whether they will work well. And if they treat nursing staff in a lesser way, well, then the patients, unfortunately, A, pick up on it, and B, may also be treated in this way through no fault of the doctor because he doesn't understand the system. They don't get an induction process on culture.
And what about something like communication? Have you found yourself from time to time or ever in a situation, Mary, where the level of English just is not sufficient?
Certainly with doctors who've trained in the Asian and the Nigerian Sudanese system, they've been trained to English, so that tends to be pretty okay, except for dialect, obviously. It is an issue in European countries, and often it's the local jargon and nuances that they don't pick up on.
Yeah, and coming back to you, Professor Brewer, it may not be ideal that so many Irish-trained doctors are leaving and that so many migrant doctors are coming here, but what about maybe improving the life and willingness of those doctors who come to this country to stay, to give them career prospects, as opposed to leaving them disillusioned?
A very good point, Sean. One of the recommendations in the strategic review, and it's not just the Department of Health that they've led the process, the HSE, the Medical Council, the Irish Postgraduate Training Bodies, they're all working together now to implement the recommendations, and Minister Varadkar is committed to it. And one of the recommendations is specifically looking at the issue of foreign doctors in what are called service posts. What Mary touched on earlier.
What does that mean now?
A service post is a post, and my colleague here, Prosper, can speak to this. A service post is one which doesn't enable you to go through a full programme of postgraduate training leading to the career path of a specialist or a GP. And this is being specifically looked at by the national decision makers. And I think it should be a cause of concern for us that not only are large numbers of Irish doctors talking about leaving and also leaving, but actually the foreign doctors, quite a lot of whom are in consultant and specialist posts and training posts. Those who are actually in higher training posts, large numbers are saying they are going to leave as well.
Prosper, would you go along with that analysis? Do you know colleagues who are in the same, who have the same view?
I know, when I came in here, my colleagues, I would have about 10 or 15 colleagues of mine, about 10 of them have left. You know, they've gone to Canada, have gone to the United Kingdom, and some of them have immigrated to the United States.
What turns them away?
Part of the reason why they're going is lack of training opportunities, especially getting into the higher specialist scheme. And that would be the number one reason.
Last word to you, Professor Brewer. Do you think we're going to see change quickly enough?
I believe that we will see it. And one of the things about the strategic review is that it wasn't only the Department of Health, but the Department of Expenditure and Public Sector Reform was there as well. And what we need to do is to shift the whole configuration of our training and our hospitals so that almost all the doctors employed in Ireland are in formal training schemes. That will satisfy the needs of the foreign doctors who want to come here, but also the Irish doctors.
We'll leave it there. Thank you, all three of you, for being with us. In studio, we had Professor Rory Brewer and also Dr. Prosper Obioha from Midlands Regional Hospital, and in our Tralee studio, Dr. Mary McCaffrey. We'll have news after these.